ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕೆಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುವೇ ನಮಃ. ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೇ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪ ಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾತಿ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂತಿಕಂ. ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುತಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರೂನ್ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾತಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣಪಾದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾ ಶ್ರೀವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ. ನಮಃ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪ್ರೇಷ್ಠಾಯ ಭೂತಲೇ ಶ್ರೀಮತೇ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತಸ್ವಾಮಿನ್ ನಿತಿನಾಮಿನೇ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸಾರಸ್ವತೇ ದೇವೇ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಚಾರಿಣೇ ನಿರ್ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶ್ಚಾತ್ಯ ದೇಶತಾರಿಣೇ ವಾಂಛಾಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯ ಏವಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ, ಹರೇ ರಾಮ ಹರೇ ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಐ ಆಮ್ ವೆರಿ ಹ್ಯಾಪಿ ಟು ಬಿ ವಿತ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಆಟ್ ದ ಭಕ್ತಿ ಸೆಂಟರ್ ನ್ಯೂಯಾರ್ಕ್. ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇಂಡೀಡ್ ಅ ಪ್ಲೆಜರ್ ಟು ಬಿ ವಿತ್ ಯು ಅಗೇನ್. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಅ ವೈಲ್ ಸಿನ್ಸ್ I have been with you, and these are indeed very turbulent times, not only because of COVID, but I think even currently you are going through some excitement in America, I believe, and I do hope everything gets resolved in whichever way it needs to get. But whatever it may be, material circumstances will always change, but Krishna consciousness remains the eternal reality. Therefore, through the ups and downs of life and through the various eventful circumstances of our day and age, Krishna consciousness can never be compromised. It has to go on. I am very happy that the Bhakti Center has been organizing this series of lectures on the ninefold processes of devotional service, and I believe you've already had 7 or 8 lectures before this. Today I will be speaking on the topic of Sakhyam, which is the 8th of the 9 processes. Dasyam Sakhyam Atmanivedanam. Sakhyam means friendship. So remember, here we are talking of friendship in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Because the verse, the 23rd verse from the 5th chapter of the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Mandanam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Atmanivedanam. So the word Vishnu is important here. So this ninefold process, these ninefold types of activities pertain to the Supreme Lord alone. That is what is being discussed here. So in Sakhyam, we are going to speak about friendship with the Lord. Now the first thing that comes to our mind when we think of friendship with the Lord is the name of famous devotees in that mood, like Arjuna with Krishna. Now, each of these 9 types of devotional service, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, have an exemplar, which means that they have some personality who has exemplified the execution or performance of that particular limb of devotional service and has attained perfection simply by doing that one limb of devotional service. So for Shravanam it is Parikshit Maharaj, for Kirtanam it is Shukadev Maharaj, and so on. So for Sakhyam it is Arjuna. So when we hear Sakhyam in relationship to the Lord, we think of Arjuna. And naturally, as devotees of Krishna in Vrindavan, we also immediately think of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. Now the question may arise in our mind that what to speak of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan? Arjuna as well, who was outside of Vrindavan, they are all eternal associates of the Lord. They are certainly not ordinary practicing devotees like us. It's one thing for them to be in a mood of friendship with the Lord. How does one sadhaka, who is a sadhaka, sadhaka means a practitioner, who is following the path of sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice, how does he or she actually practice this path of being friendly with the Lord? What does it mean? We are cautioned on several occasions that we should follow rules and regulations within the temple. You know, you can't be too familiar with the deity, because the deity has to be worshipped in some kind of a mood of awe and reverence, almost in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan. If we are frivolous or whimsical in terms of our dealings with the deities, that is considered an offense. It's called a seva aparad. And Srila Prabhupada has outlined many of them in the Nectar of Devotion. So how can ordinary devotees like us practice this principle of friendship with the Lord? Now certainly we have in mind great friends of Krishna like Arjuna or the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, but they seem at such a high level that it might seem a little daunting for us, and we might be perplexed about how we can actually practice this principle. Now in the Nectar of Devotion or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has outlined and briefly described 64 items or elements of sadhana bhakti, devotional service in practice. And particularly they pertain to vaidhi sadhana bhakti, which means performing devotional service in practice by strictly following rules and regulations given by the spiritual master and given in the scriptures. So therefore, these 64 items are especially to be performed by devotees doing vaidhi sadhana bhakti. And naturally, all these items also continue on in the next stage of sadhana bhakti, which is called raganuga sadhana bhakti, wherein one now is in the stage of practice, but one is spontaneous in one's devotion to the Lord. And then one reaches a stage called bhava, the stage of transcendental emotions. And finally, the topmost stage, which is called prema bhakti, the stage of pure love of Godhead. So when we speak of Arjuna and the Brajabasi cowherd boys, we are speaking of the level of prema. And now we are on the level of sadhana. And in this supremely magnificent text of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has given guidelines for us ordinary devotees. In the amongst this, these 64 items of bhakti, one of them, the 48th, is devotional service in friendship. So those of you who have the Nectar of Devotion with you or have easy access to it, you may open up to chapter 11 and you will find, just turn one page and you will find devotional service in friendship. In the Sanskrit text of Rupa Goswami, this is referred to as Vishvas Mitra Vittishcha Sakhyam Dvividham Iritam. So this sakhyam, this friendship, it dvividham, is of two types. Which two? Vishvasa and mitra. So vishvas means faith, staunch faith. And mitra means to be an ordinary friend. So how does this relate to us as ordinary devotees? So let's discuss that. So Srila Prabhupada explains it very nicely here, that devotional service and friendship can be divided into two categories. The first is to act as a confidential servant of the Lord, and the other is to act as a well-wisher of the Lord. In other words, vishwas, which means strong faith, implies that one should act as a servitor of the Lord, and one should actually have strong faith and confidence that the Lord is one's benefactor. So this is what it means for us to be engaging with Krishna in the mood of Sakya, even at our ordinary stage of development in devotional service. So we have to have staunch faith that Krishna is our real well-wisher, our real benefactor, and therefore we must serve him to our best capacity. And the other is to act as a well-wisher of the Lord. So we'll first talk about the one that is vishwas. The devotee who has confidence in devotional service to the Lord, Srila Prabhupada says, systematically follows the rules and regulations with faith that he will achieve the platform of transcendental life. So vishwas, acting in friendship, in sakya, with respect to the Lord at our stage of development, means to simply faithfully follow the rules and regulations of devotional service with the confidence that one will attain the transcendental platform at some point in time, whenever Krishna feels the time is right. Now, Prabhupada and Rupa Goswami actually has given the example of Draupadi here. And in the Mahabharata, and Prabhupada cites this verse here as well, you know, the Pandavas went through so many tribulations. Their life was full of difficulties. You know, if anybody thinks that after coming to devotional service, we will not have... No, not yet. It's... Not yet. Yeah, sorry. When Draupadi has gone through, along with the other Pandavas, has gone through so many miseries, and anyone who thinks that when they come to devotional life, it's going to be a bed of roses is not true. Because Krishna will put in so many challenges into our life, one after the other, relentless onslaught of crisis and challenges and difficulties and so on, all so that we and others may progress in Krishna consciousness. But the Pandavas in particular went through such a difficult time. So Draupadi in the Mahabharata says, Pratigyatava Govinda, Name Bhaktaha Pranashyati Iti Samsmriti Samsmritya Pranandharayamyaham. She says, my dear Krishna, Pratigyatava, it has been, O Govinda, it has been, you have made your promise, Name Bhaktaha Pranashyati, that your devotee will never perish. So I simply keep remembering this promise of yours, Iti Samsmritya Samsmritya. And it is only by repeatedly remembering this promise of yours that somehow or the other I am able to hold my life airs within my body and sustain my life. So, this is Draupadi's statement. And Srila Prabhupada explains here that Draupadi and her five husbands were put into such severe tribulations by the Kauravas that even Bhishma, who was such a powerful warrior and a great devotee, shed tears thinking of them. And he was always surprised that though the Pandavas were so righteous and Draupadi was practically like the goddess of fortune, still they had to go through this kind of misery. And even though their tribulations were extraordinary, Draupadi was not discouraged, Srila Prabhupada says. She knew that because Krishna was their friend, ultimately they would be saved. So here we see the example of Draupadi having staunch faith, even in the midst of the greatest of tribulations, that Krishna was their friend and Krishna would protect them. Krishna is their benefactor. So similarly, we should also have this kind of faith that Krishna actually is our real well-wisher, our benefactor, our protector, and so on. Now, I started off this section of the Nectar of Devotion by speaking about how this is especially meant for those on the platform of at least sadhana bhakti, if not vaidhi sadhana bhakti. But Draupadi is not an ordinary practicing devotee. She is a perfected devotee. She is a pure devotee. She is an associate of the Lord. So how is it that we can equate our situation with Draupadi's? How can we relate to her situation? So this is very interesting that the Acharyas explain that even though Draupadi is an associate of the Lord and is on the platform of prema, her statement is the result of prema and not of of sadhana. And still it is used as an example because the devotees on the level of prema sometimes come down to the level of sadhana. Just to facilitate the Lord's pastime, just to be able to participate in the Lord's pastime, because the Lord has many purposes to fulfill through his devotees. He wants to send out a strong message to generations and generations of devotees to come. That look, here is how a devotee should deal with tribulations. So even though Draupadi is not to be considered a sadhana bhakti, even though her example comes here as an illustration of something that a sadhaka should be thinking of, we should know, as per Jiva Goswami, that she is doing it by, so to speak, coming to a level that may appear to be like sadhana. Also, it's important that this kind of vishwas, the service, the concept that Krishna is the benefactor, like all the other limbs of devotional service that are mentioned here in the Nectar of Devotion, they continue on eternally. For example, hearing about the Lord, remembering the Lord, you know, these are part of the 64 items of sadhana bhakti. But it doesn't mean that when one reaches bhava bhakti or prema bhakti that one will give these up and one will start something new. No, it is these very items that will continue on even at the stage of bhava and prema, and even on the level of prema when one gets to the spiritual world, then the hearing and chanting of the Lord, remembering him, etc. will go on. In fact, the higher one progresses in devotional service, the better and more intense will be the performance or the execution of all these limbs of devotional service. So the spirit of friendship in terms of vishwas, in terms of having staunch faith that Krishna is the benefactor, will just intensify more and more and more. So in this way, feeling, being the confidential servant of the Lord and understanding that the Lord is our benefactor is the first type of devotional service in Sakhyam, in friendship. Rupa Goswami has given another example here, and that is from the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, text 53, and I'll just read the translation. One of the nine Yogendras addresses King Nimi and says, a person who never deviates even for a moment from engagement in service at the lotus feet of the Supreme Person, engagement which is sought even by great demigods like Indra, with firm conviction, which is sought even by great demigods, like Indra, with firm conviction that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than this, is called a first-class devotee. In other words, such a devotee is very fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, does not deviate even for a moment, with the idea that there is nothing more worshipable or desirable than serving the Supreme Lord. So actually, because when one serves Krishna favorably, it is a kind of a friendly mood, and also because in that friendly mood there is strong faith that Krishna is our benefactor, so this is considered a type of sakyam, a kind of devotional service in sakyam, even though it is at the stage of sadhana, even perhaps at the stage of vaidhi sadhana bhakti. Now, the second type of devotional service and friendship, which is mentioned here, is maitri. Now, Srila Prabhupada describes this here, quote, "The second type of devotional friendship is to become a well-wisher of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that a Lord accepts a preacher as their most dear servant. Anyone who is preaching the confidential message of the Gita to the people in general is so dear to Krishna that no one can be equal to him in human society." This is interesting. So here we have an example of mitra, which is a kind of closer friendship in which the devotee actually becomes like a well-wisher of the Lord. In the first instance of friendship, the devotee understands that the Lord is my well-wisher, but now the friendship becomes intensified and the devotee starts thinking of himself as the well-wisher of the Lord. In this, and of course the Lord is not dependent on the devotee, but you know, this is how he starts thinking. So this is a very interesting way of looking at it. Also, Jiva Goswami says that mitra here means friendship in general, rather than the sakya sthai bhav that appears only in bhava and prema. So we are talking of ordinary devotional friendship, not the friendship of Arjuna and even further higher, the friendship of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. And this tendency is described in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. To identify with such a position of general friendship is sakyam. Aho bhagyam nanda gopa prajaukasam yan mitram paramanandam. So this paramitra paramanandam is what is sakyam here. So Brahma is praying in his prayers there, aho bhagyam, you know, how fortunate, Vrajaukasam, these residents of Vrindavan, how fortunate are they? Aho bhagyam nanda gopa vrajaukasam yan mitram paramanandam. So the Supreme Absolute Truth has become their friend. So they are extremely fortunate. They are living in a spirit of such friendship. So to identify such a position of general friendship is sakyam. So this is how Jiva Goswami has explained this. And also further, Srila Prabhupada clarifies that when we speak of vishwas, we're speaking of staunch friendship, or of staunch faith, I beg your pardon. The faith that a devotee has in the very early stages is ordinarily called Shraddha. Although the word Shraddha can have many connotations and it can be used even for people at the highest level. But specifically in this context, Shraddha is something that we experience in the very beginning. Adau Shraddha Tatah Sadhu Sangha. And so on. And when that preliminary Shraddha or faith becomes staunch, it's called Vishwas. And it is in this state of Vishwas that one actually feels a sense of friendship, you know, to the Lord. Now, also in the example of Maitri, the second stage, Prabhupada says here, gives the example that he also gives incidentally in the purport to the verse, 23rd verse of the 5th chapter of the 7th canto, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. In that he mentions the Agastya Samhita. And in the last paragraph of this section of the Nectar of Devotion that I'm reading now, also this is a quote actually from the Agastya Samhita. And I'll read, quote, "Sometimes it is found that a pure devotee lies down in the temple of the Lord in order to serve him as a confidential friend. Such friendly behavior of a devotee may be accepted as raganuga or spontaneous. Although according to regulative principles, no one can lie down in the temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this spontaneous love of Godhead may be grouped under devotional service in friendship." This is a quote actually from the Agastya Samhita, the same text that Srila Prabhupada quotes in his purport to Sakyam in 7.5.23. So in this way we've got a glimpse of what devotional service in friendship or Sakyam at the stage of sadhana bhakti for our level of devotion actually means. It's interesting now to go on to the perfected stage of devotion. And I'd like to show you some slides, because you know that there are five rasas, yes? And these five rasas have been compared to the five elements, the gross elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether. So I have a text, a small PPT, I mean a small drawing of that. So that will give us an indication. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. Give me a moment, please, we're working out. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. So, you know, when the creation is made, we have these five gross elements, yes? There are many other elements as well. The most subtle of the gross elements is ether. And ether has the element of sound. The next element is air, which is a little grosser compared to ether, that has the element of touch. Air has touch plus sound. So it has the quality that exists in ether, but it has an additional quality, which is touch, which doesn't exist in the ether. The next element is fire, which has sound and touch, but it also has an extra quality that doesn't exist in ether and air. That is form. The next element, which is even grosser, is water, which has sound, touch, and form, and one extra quality, which is taste, which is not there in the previous three. And finally, the grossest of the five elements is earth, which has sound, touch, form, taste, and also one extra quality, smell, which doesn't exist in the others. So in this way we can see that earth has all the five qualities. Water has four, fire has three, air has two, ether has one. And the grosser it becomes, the larger the number of qualities. So this example is given to illustrate the principle of the five rasas. You know, the five rasas are, as you know, shanta, the rasa of neutrality, servitude. Okay, I hope you can all see this. So we have the shanta rasa, the neutrality. Essentially, this is engaging, or people who are at this level are those who are worshippers of the impersonal Brahman or the Paramatma, the super soul in the heart. And not everybody who worships the super soul or the impersonal Brahman is at this level. Only one who, in whose heart all material desires have ceased, and who has unflinching faith in Krishna or in the Supreme Lord, can qualify for Shantarasa, assuming he has gone all the way up from sadhana bhakti and upwards. So Shanta, in Shantarasa there is an appreciation of the greatness of the Lord. You know, one has strong faith, but a sense of service hasn't developed yet. You know, so that's why it's called a neutral stage. So this person doesn't exactly engage in service to the Lord, but definitely there is the element, there is a feeling of how great the Lord is, how wonderful the Lord is. So a sense of greatness of the Lord is the defining characteristic of devotees who are in Shantarasa. So we may have examples like the four Kumaras or the nine Yogendras who were in this stage. So Shantarasa, you could say, for example, has one quality, that is a sense of greatness of the Lord. Then when they come to the point of love a little bit, and there is some sense of service that develops, then it transforms into the mood of servitorship to the Lord. It's called Dasyaras. Dasi means servitude. And here there is a sense or development of a spirit of service. This is when one actually starts serving the Lord. And in this there is a sense of subordination, that there is awe and veneration. One clearly understands that the Lord is the master and I am the servant of the Lord. And with great joy, the devotee serves the Lord. So there is the quality of Shantarasa, which is a sense of greatness, but added to that is now a sense of service. So Dasyaras therefore has two qualities: the quality that exists in Shantaras, and also an extra quality, the sense of service, which doesn't exist in the Shantarasa. Then when the Dasyarasa moves from love of Godhead to spontaneous love of Godhead, it goes even higher. The qualities of Dasya and Shanta remain, of course, the sense of greatness of the Lord and the sense of service, and they intensify. And when one comes to Sakya, one actually imbibes a sense of intimacy without any sense of awe and veneration, of undeterred fraternity. Undeterred means without any impediment. Fraternity means friendship. So in this friendship, there is no deterrence because there is no sense of awe and reverence. And here we are specifically speaking of Vrindavan, because in other places outside of Vrindavan, and we'll come to that shortly, there is indeed some kind of a deterrent there. But in Vrindavan, there is no such deterrent. The cowherd boys, love Krishna and play with him with a sense of equality. They will climb on his shoulders, joke with him, make fun of him, steal his prasadam, and they will do various things. Although they have enormous respect and love for Krishna, this sense of equality is not an irreverential, it may appear irreverential, but actually it is based on very, very deep, spontaneous love. Remember, that all that we're talking about now, these five rasas, are on the platform of prema bhakti. We're not talking of sadhana bhakti anymore. So, sakya rasa therefore has these three qualities: the sense of greatness of the Lord, the spirit of service to the Lord, and also the sense of intimacy devoid of awe and veneration. And as the spontaneous love of sakya rasa deepens, then there is vatsalya rasa. Vatsalya means parental. And in addition to the qualities of the previous rasas, the devotee now develops a sense that he or she is superior to the Lord, not just equal, but superior, and feels that Krishna is dependent on me. So now there's a sense that one is a maintainer of the Lord. So there is a sense of greatness, a sense of service, a sense of intimacy, and something is added, a sense that one is the maintainer of the Lord. And finally, the topmost rasa is Madhuri rasa, the conjugal love of Krishna with his devotees in that rasa. And this is characterized by even deeper, shall we say, exhibition of all the qualities that we saw earlier. And it is characterized by total self-surrender. It is very rare, and therefore it is considered the highest. So Madhuri Ras contains all the five qualities, Vatsalya Ras contains four, Sakya three, Dasya two, Shanta one. So it was helpful to have this background when we come to Sakya now, specifically when we are speaking of the qualities of Sakya, the sense of equality, etc. So now I'll show you another. Now we'll be speaking of nectar of devotion. Can we have the next slide, please? We're talking of chapter 41 now. No, the previous one, the other one. No, the other one. Yes. Okay. Sakya rasa. So this chart has been drawn from the Nectar of Devotion, chapter 41. So if any of you have that in front of you, you can keep it, but it may be difficult for you to right away identify which part of the chart deals with which section. But I think this is a good study guide. So maybe sometime in the course of the week, starting today after this lecture, you could maybe sit with this chart and study chapter 41. Chapters 41 and 42 deal with fraternal devotion. We will not have time to cover 42, but we'll just cover fraternal devotion chapter 41 briefly. So in this chapter, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that in Sakya Rasa, the friends of Krishna are called Vayasyas. The word Vaya or Vayaha or Vayam in Sanskrit means age. So Vayasya indicates one who's of the same age or similar age. Yes? So there will be some who are slightly younger, some who are more or less equal to him in age, and some who are slightly older to him. But there's, you know, they're more or less equal in age to him. So there are two types of such Vayasyas, friends of Krishna of the same age. The first are called Pura Vayasyas. Pura refers to town, like Dwarka Puri, Jagannath Puri. The word Puri or Pura refers to a town in the Sanskrit language. So here Rupa Goswami is referring to the friends of Krishna in towns like Dwarka, Hastinapur, etc. And specifically he mentions the Pandavas, Arjuna, Bhima, Yudhishthira, Nakul, Sahadev, and also interestingly, their wife Draupadi, who is also in the Dasyaras, and in the Sakyaras, I beg your pardon. We spoke about Draupadi briefly a while ago, and we mentioned that even though that section generally pertains to the sadhana bhakti stage, but Draupadi is not to be considered at that stage, but still her example is used there because it is instructive and indicative. So Draupadi's example is used, and also Sudama Brahman, Sudama Vipra, the one who went to Dwarka. There's another cowherd boyfriend of Krishna who is Sudama. We shouldn't confuse the two. There's also another garland maker in Mathura who is Sudama. There's yet another Sudama. And this Sudama Brahman who is referred to here is the same Sudama who went to Dwarka with some chip rice. He is also called Sridama Brahmana. And in Nectar of Devotion, Prabhupada refers to him as Sridama. So, Sudama Vipra has two names, Sridama as well as Sudama. So there's another Sridama in Vrindavan, so we shouldn't confuse the two. Okay? So these are the two. And there's quite a bit that Srila Prabhupada speaks about them. It'll be happy reading. You sit with this chart and you can read the Nectar of Devotion and you will really relish it. So as far as outside Vrindavan is concerned, that is the Puravayasyas, Srila Prabhupada here has mentioned that amongst all he gives the example of how once when Krishna arrived in Indraprastha, then which was the capital of the Kurus, then Maharaj Yudhishthira immediately came out and he smelled the flavor of Krishna's head. Generally, it's the Vedic custom that when an elder person welcomes a younger person, you know, he smells his head. That's a part of the etiquette. So, the subordinates, of course, offer respect, they offer obeisances, and the equals, the peers, they embrace each other. So that's generally how it happens. So Bhima and Arjuna, who are more or less of the same age, Bhima is slightly older though, but not much. And Arjuna is more or less the same age. So Bhima and Arjuna embraced him. And Nakul and Sahadev was slightly younger. They offered their obeisances, they offered their respect. And in this way, all the five Pandava brothers enjoyed the fraternal relationship of Krishna in transcendental mellow. Prabhupada also mentions here that of the five Pandavas, Arjuna is the most intimately connected with Krishna. And he goes on to describe something about Arjuna. We won't have time to discuss all of that. But suffice it to say, that's for the Pura Vayasyas. The other section of Krishna's Vayasya friends is the Vraja Sakhas. Sakha means a friend, but a very intimate friend. And Vraja means Vrindavan. So, Srila Rupa Goswami has classified the friends of Krishna in Vrindavan in four categories. Well-wishers, friends — friends here means ordinary friends — then confidential friends, and intimate friends. Intimate friends means very confidential friends. So the well-wishers are called suhrit in Sanskrit. Rit means the heart, su means good. So those who are like well-wishers, to have good wishes for someone. You know, suhridam sarvabhutanam, suhridam sarvadehinam. Srila Prabhupada used to cite this word suhrit many times. So the suhrit Vrajasakhas, the well-wishing friends of Krishna in Vrindavan, are slightly older than Krishna, and hence they have some degree of parental affection for him. Anyone who is older tends to have some kind of a mix in the friendship, it tends to have a little mix of some protective nature, protective feeling towards the younger friend. So that is the case here. So they always try to protect him. And that's all the examples are given here. But we won't have time, sorry, to go into that. The chief examples of Suhrits are Mandali Bhadra and Balabhadra. Balabhadra means Baladev, Balaram. Actually, maybe you just have a quick example of these two. So let's take one example of Mandali Bhadra's service attitude and his mood. That's on page 322. Mandali Bhadra says, "My dear friends, our beloved Krishna is now very tired from working with the cows in the pasturing grounds and from traveling all over the forests. I can see that he is very fatigued. Let me massage his head silently while he is taking rest in his house. And you, Subala, you just massage his thighs." So in this way, these slightly older friends of Krishna like Mandali Bhadra are a little protective of Krishna and they want to serve him like that. Similarly, Baladev, his older brother, has a similar mood. And Prabhupada quotes it, and Prabhupada describes it like this, quote, "My dear friend," this is Balaram speaking, "please inform Krishna not to go to Kaliya's lake today. Today is his birthday, and so I wish to go along with Mother Yashoda to bathe him. Tell him he should not leave the house today." Unquote. This shows how Balaram, Krishna's elder brother, took care of Krishna with parental love within the scope of fraternal affection. So, it is in the fraternal sakyaras, but a slight mix of the parental mood also. And the other examples are Subhadra, Bhadravardhana, etc. And there are many others which are given by Srila Prabhupada here. The next category of Rajasakhas are the friends, the ordinary friends. They are slightly younger than Krishna, and as opposed to the Suhrit, who are slightly older than Krishna. And they're very, very attached to him. And they render all sorts of service to him. Because they're slightly younger, in their friendship, we find a slight mix of the mood of servitude, dasya. Just as in the slightly older friends, there's a mix of the parental affection. In the slightly younger friends, there is a mix of the servitude sentiment that comes on. So, let's see some examples of that. Ordinary friends. Yes, this is how Srila Prabhupada describes it. "Sometimes some of them would rise early in the morning and immediately go to Krishna's place and wait at the door to see Krishna and to accompany him to the pasturing grounds. In the meantime, Krishna would be dressed by Mother Yashoda. And when she would see a boy standing at the door, she would call him, 'Well, Vishal, why are you standing there? Come here.' So with the permission of Mother Yashoda, he would immediately enter the house. And while Mother Yashoda was dressing, he would try to help out on Krishna's ankle bells. And Krishna would jokingly strike him with his flute. Then Mother Yashoda would call, 'Krishna, what is this? Why are you teasing your friend?' And Krishna would laugh, and the friend would also laugh. These are some of the activities of Krishna's sakhas. Sometimes the sakhas would take care of the cows who were going hither and thither. They would tell Krishna, 'Your cows are going off here and there,' and Krishna would thank them." Another example Srila Prabhupada gives is that since Krishna practically killed a demon every day in Vrindavan, he would sometimes feel a little tired or fatigued, and his hair would be scattered and so on. So it is these sakhas in particular who would come there and try to relieve him of his fatigue. You know, someone would take a fan of lotus leaves and fan him. Someone would brush the scattered hairs on Krishna's head. as someone would massage his body and so on and so forth. So in this way, the sakhas, the ordinary friends, will serve Krishna in Vrindavan. The third category are the confidential friends, also called the Priya Sakhas. Now, these are almost exactly the same age as Krishna, and their behavior with Krishna is on the basis of friendship on equal level, as opposed to the slight parental mix in the Suhrit and the servitude mix in the Sakhas. So here there is complete equality, and therefore there is more freedom, there is more flexibility, shall we say, or less hindrance. And the best, by the way, the Sakhas, the examples, the chief is called Devaprastha, and other examples are Vishal, Vrishabh, Ojasvi, and so on. So as far as the Priya Sakhas, or the confidential friends, are concerned, the chief is Sridhama. And others, examples are Sudama, Dama, Vasudama, Stoka Krishna, Bhadrasen, Madhumangal. So Madhumangal is the famous laddu lover who loves to eat laddus. He is a Brahmana boy, and he brings in some, shall we say, humor and laughter into Krishna's pastimes. Since he's very fond of laddus and he eats more than anyone, and when he wants more laddus, then he would tell Krishna that if you give me one more laddu, then I will be pleased with you and give you blessings, so that your friend Radharani will be pleased with you. And then Krishna would happily give him some extra laddus, and then Madhumangal would bless him. You know, and everybody would laugh. So Madhumangal is also one of the Priya Sakhas that Srila Prabhupada mentions here. And some of the other thing, one of the pastimes that is mentioned here is that a friend of Srimati Radharani told Radharani, "My dear graceful Radharani, your intimate friend Krishna is also served by his intimate boyfriends. Some of them cut jokes with him in mild voices and please him very much by this." So the gopis also understand that these Priya Sakhas, they are very, very dear to Krishna, and they please him in so many wonderful ways. Another example of this is given by Srila Prabhupada here, that sometimes a confidential friend would come before Krishna and embrace him with great affection and love. Another friend would then come up from the rear and cover Krishna's eyes with his hands. Krishna would always feel very happy by such dealings with his confidential friends. Now we come to the fourth category, which is the Priya Narma Sakhas, the intimate friends, who are the most confidential friends, and amongst the devotees in the Sakya Rasa, they are considered the most exalted. The reason being that they are involved very much, and sometimes they act as go-betweens in the pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. So they will pass messages and gifts and so on back and forth between the two. And so they have to be so confidential that the matter is not revealed to anyone, even the other cowherd boys, because for them it may be a bit of a confusion. But for these cowherd boys who are Priya Narma Sakhas, the most intimate friends, they are quite comfortable in straddling their relationship with Krishna and in assisting Krishna in his relationship with the gopis. The example of this, the chief examples are Subala and Ujjvala. Other examples are Arjuna, Gandharva, Vasanta, etc. This Arjuna, mind you, is not the same Arjuna as the one in Bhagavad Gita. That is the Arjuna of Hastinapur. This is the Arjuna of the cowherd boy of Vrindavan. So, here is some example. One gopi, I quote Srila Prabhupada saying here, one gopi addressed Radharani thus, "My dear Krishangi, O delicate one, just see how Subal is whispering your message into Krishna's ear, how he is delivering the confidential letter of Shyama Dasi silently into Krishna's hand, how he is delivering the betel nuts prepared by Palika into Krishna's mouth, and how he is decorating Krishna with the garland prepared by Taraka. Did you know, my dear friend, that all these most intimate friends of Krishna are always engaged in his service in this way?" So this is the kind of service that the Priya Narma Sakhas they render to Krishna. So in this way, we see the classification of the Vayasyas, the devotees on the exalted platform of Prema, who serve Krishna in the mood of Sakhiras. And finally, just one last please, the other chart. Yes, so Srila Prabhupada concludes this chapter more or less by speaking about the three divisions of Krishna's friends. One are Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect. That means that they have descended with Krishna from the spiritual world, from Goloka Vrindavan, to assist in Krishna's pastimes here in the earthly Vrindavan, the Bhauma Vrindavan, that Vrindavan which has manifested on earth. Then you have Devata, which means they were formerly demigods, they were quite exalted devotees, but now they have been elevated to the stage of perfection and they have become Sakhas, or they become friends of the Lord in Vrindavan. But they are also Sadhana Siddha, because they have perfected their life by rigorous practice of devotional service. And the third category is Sadhana Siddha, who have perfected their devotional service through practice and moving through sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema bhakti, and so on. So these are the three divisions of Krishna's friends. So I'll just conclude with one verse and then I'll show you some pictures. So this is a verse from the 12th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, text 11. Which explains how fortunate the cowherd boys of Vrindavan are. Ittam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradevatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakam vijaru krita punya punja. So, there are some. Now, this is with reference to the cowherd boys of Vrindavan. Now, as far as those who are, you know, worshipping the impersonal Brahman and the Jnanis and so on, who are after the happiness, so-called happiness of merging into the impersonal Brahman, for them, Krishna is that impersonal Brahman. So they think of Krishna in those terms, as the source of that, or as the light himself. Then there are those who are serving Krishna in the mood of servitude. Dasyam gatanam paradaivatena. They think of Krishna as their worshipable Lord. Then maya shritanam, those who are under the grip of maya, the illusory energy, naradarakena, they think of Krishna as being just an ordinary human child. Sakam vijaharu krita punya punja. But what about these cowherd boys? They have got a chance to play with Krishna on equal terms, with such intimacy that is quite unimaginable for anybody else. So what kind of piety, devotional piety, must they have accumulated over so many lifetimes that they have now got this opportunity to do this? So this is a glorification of the cowherd boys who exemplify the satyaras in Vrindavan. And to end, I'll just show you some pictures. Yashoda Dulal Prabhu, I'm just a few minutes over time. Is it okay if I take 2 minutes more for the pictures? Okay, all right. Yeah, so these are some pictures of friendship with the Lord. This is Krishna and Arjuna. You remember that Arjuna is Krishna's dearest friend amongst all the Pandavas. Next is Krishna with the Pandavas and with Draupadi. You all recognize this pastime, the pastime of the Akshay Patra, when Durvasa Muni came to Kamyavan, when the Pandavas were in exile there. And he came and Draupadi had already eaten from this pot. And Durvasa Muni, they had to cook now for 10,000 people who were along with Durvasa as well. And they had no food. And Draupadi called out for Krishna, and Krishna came and he ate that little grain of rice, and immediately the Akshay Patra, or rather Durvasa Muni and his disciples were all very full and they left. So all of these personalities that you see here, the five Pandavas and Draupadi, are in the Sakya Ras with Krishna. Next, Lord Krishna with Draupadi, another picture. Okay, next. Yes, another Puravayasya, meaning a friend of Krishna from the towns. So from Dwarka, this is Krishna serving his dear friend Sudama, much to the astonishment of his queen Rukmini Devi, who is wondering how it is that her husband is doing such menial service to a simple, poor brahmana like Sudama. This is another example of how Krishna is won over by the love of his devotees. Okay, next please. So, Krishna getting ready to go to the forest. If you remember, I read out a small section of the Nectar of Devotion dealing with exactly this. This picture actually illustrates that point about how this boy is Vishal. And he was standing at the door like the other boys. And Krishna, Mother Yashoda is dressing Krishna. And so Mother Yashoda spots him at the door and calls him, "Vishal, come inside." And Vishal quickly comes in and then starts assisting Mother Yashoda in dressing Krishna and tying his anklets and so on. So that is exactly the picture that corresponds to that little section that I read. So these are the sakhas, the ordinary friends. This is the kind of service that they do. Next, please. Krishna with the other gopas. They go out into the forest. They're enjoying themselves. It's just ecstatic bliss all day long. They're just frolicking, having fun, playing games, you know, eating all sorts of delicious fruits and roots and berries from the forest, in addition to whatever delicious foodstuffs their respective mothers have sent with them. And they have a wonderful time, in short. Yes, next please. Yeah, they do things like this in Sakya Ras. They imitate the peacocks, they tease the monkeys, they imitate the frogs, you know, they do all sorts of things like this. This goes on in the spiritual world. Sometimes people ask, you know, okay, what will you do when you go to the spiritual world? Won't life be boring? For those who enter into Krishna's Sakya Ras pastimes, they'll be doing this. And they'll be imitating the peacocks and they'll be going out to graze cows with Krishna and so on. Okay, next please. Yeah, and these are some other pastimes that Krishna plays with his in the Sakya Ras, playing the swing with the sakhas. Okay, next please. The killing of Aghasura. Yes, this was actually when Krishna faces the asuras, the other cowherd boys. They just become so distraught with nervousness and grief and pain, and especially when they see that Krishna is entered into the mouth of a demon like Bakasura, or as in this case, Aghasura, then they almost faint. So the bond is so close with them. Okay, next please. Yes, and then when they go to the forest and they have a good time with a nice picnic, they have delicious foodstuffs, simple foodstuffs, and then you can see in the background, in the sky, there's Brahma seated on his swan carrier, and he gets a little bewildered because Krishna, you can see, he's carrying foodstuffs in both his hands, right and left. It's not considered a cultured thing to do, to eat food with the left hand. And Krishna was eating ordinary food like yogurt and fruit and rice and things like that. And Brahma was expecting that the Supreme Lord should have some kind of a very gorgeous spread, a meal with so many different types of items and so on. And he's quite surprised to see Krishna and the cowherd boy sharing this kind of simple meal. Next, please. Yeah, similar instance as in Bakasura, as in Aghasura. And the cowherd boys are participating with Krishna in all these beautiful pastimes. Yes, please. Vatsasura, where a demon comes dressed as a calf and they are playing games. And sometimes Krishna loses also and he gets punished. So Krishna does all of these things. So this is why it is called Vishrambha Sakya. Vishrambha means that which is completely devoid of awe and veneration. You know, although Arjuna would sometimes do that, as the Nectar of Devotion says at one place, that he would sometimes lie down with his head on Krishna's lap and they would joke and laugh and so on. So there was certainly quite a degree of intimacy between Arjuna and Krishna. But when Arjuna saw the universal form, he became stunned. And the sweetness of his Sakya Ras became compromised. So Arjuna's Sakya is called Sambhrama Sakya or Gaurava Sakya, which is tinged with awe and veneration. But not so with the cowherd boys here in Vrindavan, where there is no trace of any awe and veneration. Even though they respect him a lot, they love him, to a degree we cannot imagine, but there is total freedom in interacting. So sometimes Krishna gets punished, he has to carry somebody else on his shoulders, and these are the pastimes that go on here. Done? Okay, so that's it. So I'll stop my class here, and I think we have questions, right? Jai. No, Dasyam underlies the spirit of service, underlies all the rasas, mellows, from Dasyam upwards. If you remember, that was the one extra characteristic there in the Dasi Rasa that doesn't exist in the Shanta Rasa. And then this characteristic exists in the other rasas that come at a higher level, but those rasas have other qualities also. So the spirit of service is definitely there. So the element of dasya should be there for all devotees. We are ultimately servant of Krishna, servant of the Guru, servant of the Vaishnavas. So that is there. So there's no contradiction there. when it comes to developing the friendship, we are serving in a mood of friendship. The friendship has not to be a selfish friendship. It has not to be a compromised friendship. It's a friendship of real of good wishes, of a genuine heart towards Krishna. That one sincerely wants to do something for Krishna. One sincerely wants to bring some devotees to Krishna's lotus feet. So it is in this sense that I presume that Srila Prabhupada mentioned the preacher as an example of a well-wisher of Krishna in that section. I'll answer the second one first. Can a devotee, can a disciple end up, that means at the stage of Swarup Siddhi, at that stage of ultimate perfection of life, can the disciple end up in a different rasa than the guru? It is possible. It is entirely possible. And there are many, many instances of that as well. coming to the first question, of course, generally, the mood will be similar, but it is entirely possible that there could be other options also. So, regarding our own position, it will be revealed at the right time by Krishna. When we become sufficiently elevated in devotional service, that is when Krishna will reveal to us our our particular status in the spiritual world, whenever that time may come. You know, this lifetime, next lifetime, whenever, you know, it may come. Of course, we can aspire. We can aspire. That is exactly what Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti is about. Raga and Anuga. Anuga means one who is a follower. One follows the Raga Bhaktas. He follows in the footsteps of the Vraja devotees. You know, and tries to cultivate that mood. That's also possible. The devotees may do that as an internal cultivation if they like. Thank you very much for inviting me and giving me an opportunity. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.